Paul West, here we are sitting in your Bermagui house at your kitchen table. You guys are back in town, 4 years since River Cottage finished filming just up the road at Tilba. Good to be back on the far south coast.
It's the best. And it's the whole time we were away, we kind of mythologized the south coast. And it really kind of served as a North Star to where we wanted to be. I think after River Cottage finished, my wife and I were a little bit uncertain about our future, as tends to be the case when you become unemployed. And we weren't sure that we were here because this is genuinely where we wanted to be, or we were here because River Cottage had brought us here.
Yeah.
And so now that River Cottage was done, we kind of thought, well, okay, let's see what happens. And we stuck around for a little bit, but then it became necessary for me to chase some work. And we went back to Newcastle for a 6-month stint, and that's where I'd spent my 20s and I'd grown up in the Hunter Valley. But that didn't work out. Then we went to Melbourne, where my wife was from, and she'd lived there for the first 28 years of her life, because she wanted to reconnect with her family and friends because she'd been away from them a lot. And so we were just trying on other areas that had been really significant in our adult lives, and connecting with groups of people that had been significant for us. And I think it was about a month after leaving here. Oh, no, sorry, a year after leaving here, we both just had the conversation and went, no, we want to go back. Mm-hmm. We definitely want to go back to Bermagui. And so I was in the midst of writing a book, which has just come out. And after that was wrapped in January of 2019, we spent a couple of months wrapping things up in Melbourne. Then we took the family on a camping trip to shake off the city dust for 3 months up the East Coast. And then we came back here in mid-August. Mm-hmm. And we're just so glad to be back.
What was it that drew you back? I mean, the pull of a wage, the pull of a mum and a dad to pay the mortgage, support a young family, is great, and a lot of reasons not to come back to a regional area. Why did you choose to come back? What was it in that conversation that you guys had that said, yep, this is the place for us?
Well, so to give you an example of our mornings in Melbourne, the kids would wake up about 6 o'clock, and we were in a nice, quiet suburban pocket, but I could still hear traffic at 6 a.m. You know, you could hear the trams dinging, you could hear the major arteries that were a kilometre away. And then, you know, we'd kind of battle to get the kids across the suburb to daycare by 9 o'clock and, you know, look for parks and do all that kind of stressful city stuff. And this morning, for example, I woke up and I went outside as the sun was rising and could hear the ocean, and there's a whitbird that lives in one of the trees out here. And so it comes and says good morning and fed the kids breakfast, walked one block to drop my kid off at daycare, then went for a swim at the beach, had some chats to some people, saw some whales breaching, and was back home by 9:30. You know, and we kind of knew that lifestyle was on offer. And I mean, I grew up in a small country town, smaller than Burmy, but still with a very similar community dynamic. There's a really strong, vibrant community life here, and there's a real kind of pride of community and place and town, and I really love that in a place. And I just wanted my kids to grow up in a way that I guess I did. And it's almost, you know, it's almost like that kind of nostalgic sense of like, oh, back when I was a kid, we just, you know, we left it when the sun came up and we came home and, you know, and that's mum packed us a sandwich and that was it. But I mean, you can actually do that here still, you know, there's because it's got such a close-knit community and everyone knows everyone, and everyone knows whose kids are everyone. There's that kind of safety of community that we didn't enjoy in Melbourne, you know. That's we had to be so much more watchful with our young children. There's more traffic, more cars, more people, more danger, you know. So we just felt like we couldn't give them that kind of open-ended, you know, fill your boots nature upbringing that we envisaged for them without being back here.
Yep.
And now after they've kind of calmed down from the stress of moving interstate again, and the big 3-month camping trip we did, they're settled right down and they're loving it.
Yep.
They're just absolutely loving it.
Mm-hmm. What are your plans in terms of a livelihood? You've got the book out, as you mentioned, but yeah, how do you plan on putting your roots down here?
Yeah, well, I'm still undecided about that, Ian. It's obviously I work as a freelance broadcaster for the ABC, and I publish cookbooks. So my publisher's already on the early success of the one that's just come out. I was already thinking about another title, and the mm-hmm. great thing about that is that's something I can write here. I wrote that book at this kitchen table. It was just in our kitchen at Melbourne, so I can definitely do it here. But I think for the long term, I mean, obviously, I don't want to be the FIFO worker. Mm-hmm. You know, for many reasons, I don't want to be a FIFO, worker for the absence from my own family. You know, for leaving my wife, holding the bundle of our mm-hmm. two boys and the dog and the cat and all the kind of things that have to happen in a household that become so much more difficult when there's just one parent. And also because I don't want to be the kind of absentee community member mm-hmm. either. You know, it's I certainly foresee our family being here in Bermagui for a very long time, and I just want to be able to contribute to the community in a meaningful and constructive way. And how that looks yet, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But you know, we've only been here we got back in the middle of August, and where are we now? We're late October. And so the dust is still settling for us, you know. Mm-hmm. We're still kind of unpacking, you know. It's, you know, in a way, like when you move house, like there's that kind of fervent, like 2 weeks where you get everything, 90% of everything unpacked, and then that other 10% just lingers around for 2 years. So, I guess the way I'm trying to do that, to settle back in, is just to focus on the garden here. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, I was very glad to do a little bit of work here before we left. But after gardening in rental properties for the last 2 years, I'm mm-hmm. so keen to just get everything yep. happy and singing here. Yeah, so, I mean, we're not rushing into anything. We're just, you know, we're just trying to keep that pace, you know, just let ourselves find the space. And I've got enough work to kind of keep us ticking over. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we've definitely got a view to some sort of long-term contribution to the Bermagui community. Mm-hmm. But I can pretty much guarantee you right now that it is not going to be in the form of a hospitality venue. So sorry to let anyone down that's listening out there. I thought, oh, maybe Paul's going to open a cafe in Bermagui that we can visit.
Leave it to Kelly Eastwood.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. I'll just do guest slots down at Eastwood's Deli down there.
Looking back over the River Cottage Australia experience, it was such a shot of energy into this region and into your life as well, I dare say. How do you come down off that high? What sort of reflections have you had on that time in your life?
So that was, I mean, especially the period after the show was dropped, it was pretty difficult, you know, because it was something that I'd really pegged my identity to, mm-hmm. you know, my kind of purpose and my role. And so when you're in a position like that and it's then no longer through no, you know, kind of choice of your own, it's foisted upon you, then it definitely takes a period of adjustment and retrospection. And actually, it was quite welcome, I suppose, to have that period, because the first 4 years of River Cottage were just such a whirlwind that there was no real time for reflection. Mm-hmm. And I guess consolidation of those lessons. I mean, from that first, or the final phone call of me getting the job, to the 4 years later when the program was dropped, it was just absolutely nonstop, you know. So I guess it was good to take that time to kind of reflect on what our values as a family were, where we wanted to be, what kind of vision, you know, we were expecting for our kids, and what role, you know, my employment played in that. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, we kind of saw that there was an opportunity for me to continue working in media, but I only wanted it to be for the ABC, mm-hmm. Because, in you know, especially when you're involved with food, you know, it's hard to do that kind of stuff without flogging products, because no one wants to pay for content anymore. Yeah. So, and I didn't want to go down that path. So I kind of threw my hat in to the ABC, and luckily I've kind of landed in what I feel like is a good home on screen on mm-hmm. ABC. So I feel like River Cottage was just the most amazing experience for so many reasons. One, it set me in a very positive foundation for a media career. And two, just in terms of a contribution to I guess, Australian culture and our national culture in some way. Because, you know, we were kind of talking before that we started rolling the interview that you know, it's still got legs. You know, we last the program last aired season four last aired as a first run in around Easter 2016. So that's over 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Season one, you know, was 6 years ago, over 6 years ago. Yeah, so that's and you know, it had a full life on Foxtel and is now enjoying, you know, a kind of resurgence on SBS. But both broadcasters are playing it pretty mm-hmm. much round the clock. So I just I don't think I could ever appreciate at the time when I was up there on the farm, you know, chasing Bessie and, you know, and stopping Digger from chewing my boots, that the program would find such a strong home in the minds of the Australian viewer, mm-hmm. Because people they still I don't know, it's the messaging in it. I think that's what I guess what I reflected on was that the messaging in that program was so positive and, mm-hmm. and really kind of fundamentally human and celebratory. And not, you know, even though it was a lifestyle program, so there was a little bit of like kind of gloss on there, but really it was something that was all too rare on Australian television, mm-hmm. and I think that's why people are still coming to it. So, I mean, when it first got dropped, I was quite I was a little bit bitter about it, I think.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Can relate, yeah.
I can imagine. And so, but then I realised, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Mm.
And now have embraced all the kind of positive elements of the yeah. program and everything that it's done for me and my family and the contribution it played to the Southeast community and to national culture in its small way.
Yeah.
And to have been able to play a part in that, I mean, I couldn't be happier. Mm-hmm.
The band all lives here in many respects.
Yeah.
Kelly Eastwood, yeah. Matt Christensen,
yeah.
Nelika Gordon, yourself. Costa Georgiadis has even got relatives down the road at Tanger. There's some potential here. Do you see it?
I mean, I definitely do, you know, and I guess I'm a bit of a Luddite. So anyone that follows my social media will know that my posts are sporadic and non-thematic and usually inappropriate. So I'm still wrapping my head around using Instagram after all these years, but I think, you know, with all those amazing characters and that lack of need for a kind of old world broadcaster mm-hmm. anymore. I mean, there's so many options available that I think after the dust settles you know, we're back here over summer, I am very keen to entertain the idea of like a river cottage. Where are they now? that I'll then post on my YouTube. So whether or not it's like it's serious or whether or not it's kind of like a tongue-in-cheek, you know, where are they now, remains to be seen. But I've been so fortunate to keep traveling around Australia for my line of work after River Coach. And mm-hmm. like every event I go to, mm-hmm. without fail, people want to know, is it coming back? When's it coming yeah, yeah. back? Please, can it come back?
Yeah.
What can we do to help it come back? So I think there's definitely a lot of thirst and for that, you know, style of programming.
Yep.
So, I mean, I'm not making any promises and I definitely in the short-term future can't see it coming back on a major broadcaster. But yeah, I think maybe a little YouTube series about where they are now might just find its way onto people's devices.
I hope this isn't a naff question, but like you, I guess I've got some of those questions that viewers of River Cottage might have in their mind. Given that you've moved back to Burmie, given that the property is up the road at Tilba, have you done a drive-by? Have you had a look over the fence? What's happening to my veggie garden?
See, actually, I only have just started reflecting on that overnight, just recently actually. It's just kind of popped into my mind about, you know, how the Fukuoka balls that we threw into the gully, you know, whether they took shoot or
yeah,
whether
yeah.
the re-veg project we mm-hmm. did on the lower portion of the gully, you know, what trees of that survived and how big they are now, how the veggie patch is. And people, so because you can stay on that property mm-hmm. As an Airbnb venue now, people send me photos of it all the time. So when they stay there, they send me pictures on Instagram of them staying in the kitchen, which I kind of like, and also kind of feel like it's someone sending you pictures of your ex-girlfriend, you know, like while they're out on a date with them. They're like, oh, just having this great time with Sally and I. So, I mean, there is a real curiosity for me to get out there, but I think for me, the more important focus is reconnecting with all the people,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's the farm's now, or always has been, but it's private property and it's, you know, someone else owns that and that's, you know, their kind of to be used at their discretion now. Mm-hmm. But the people who were part of the program are definitely out and about. And I mean, without the people that we had on the program, all those incredible and generous and beautiful contributors that we had, the show wouldn't have been anything as good as what it was. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, while there is a morbid curiosity for me to go and check out the farm, I don't think I'm going to pay the money to stay in there as an Airbnb overnight. I might just kind of go out on dusk one day and just kind of wander over the paddock and, you know, just have a little bit of a moment to reconnect and take Digger back there and see if he can find where he buried all those old bones. But yeah, I mean, I think for me, the real focus is just reconnecting all the wonderful mm-hmm. people.
Yep. People are going to be really happy to hear that you're here and looking to make a life here, but you do need to make a living. How can people support you? This is the time for the shameless plug, Paul West. Okay, yeah. Where do we buy the cookbook? Where can we watch your stuff on the ABC? How can people support you guys build a life here?
Well, I mean, just... I'll do the plug first. Thank you. You can purchase a copy of The Edible Garden Cookbook and Rough Planting Guide from all good book retailers. I know Candelo Books down in Bega stock it. I was going to retail it via my website, but I'm just away too much on other kind of book promo tours. So if people ordered it, I just wouldn't be able to do the dedications and get back in time. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll do that before Christmas. But my website's mrpaulwest.com. So you can, if you want to go and check out there, I've got mm-hmm. stacks of events and stuff on there. Or my Instagram's _Paul_West_, which is the kind of thing you've got to do if you've got a name like Paul West. In the recent federal election, I went and I did a remote vote up in the Kimberley and they said, oh, what's your name? I said, Paul West. And they go, okay, there's got a special certification. It's 100+ residents in Australia. So, yeah. And there was three with my exact name, including my middle name. So, but beyond that, I mean, just in terms of what you can do to support us, I guess we just ask and hope for that kind of generosity of spirit and friendliness that any people who are relatively new to a region ask for. Just, you know, say good day. Mm-hmm. That's I don't want to be like Paul from the TV in the community. Yep. I want to be Paul from Bamgui. Mm-hmm. You know, it's and so don't, if you know, if you see me down in Bega or anywhere around in the southeast, don't feel like, you know, I'm some guy from the TV. I'm just another person that loves calling the southeast home. So just come and say good day. I'm always up for a chat.